You mean like sort of on the...
I guess I love you.
Tragedy struck.
I see you haven't lost your touch.
This episode of Nerdcast Recast is brought to you by Geek Garage. Head on over to geekgarage.com to see some of the world's coolest geek and pop culture themed vehicles, as well as stay up to date on events and even register your nerdy car. That's geekgarage.com, geek-garage.com.
I'm Gallo.
And I'm Q.
And today we are stoked to have Eva Haberman.
Haberman.
Yeah. With
Haberman.
Us.
Haberman. That sounds so fancy. I've already been asked if this was like an artist's name, but I said, well, I would have come up with something better than Haberman.
Now,
I like it.
Well, it's like.
I will say it sounds so much better when you say it.
Correct.
Like the inflection and the accent just really makes it. Pop,
well, in German, it's Habermann.
Habermann.
Habermann sounds like really serious.
It is very, very serious.
Now, Eva, you are most known to most of us over here from your role in Lex. Q, you know what? You brought it up,
yes.
And I'm going to let you go ahead and run with this one.
Yes, let's do it. Eva, it is such a pleasure to have you on the show. I will say this, and I was telling you a little bit before the episode. So as a teenager, I watched a lot of Lex. It was maybe one of those shows that I don't know that I would necessarily immediately put to my kid. But for me growing up, it informed a lot of the things that I liked. As a sci-fi series, it was wholly original. And I have to ask you, just because of all the, I know we were talking to other people in the network prior to you coming on, and a bunch of them were like, holy cow, I used to love Lex and I haven't watched that. And I have to ask you, what was the process of joining Lex like? Like, I would imagine that was a strange script the first time you read it.
Yes, it was. But actually, you see, first of all, they were casting in Germany and in Canada for either Kai or Zev could have been German. So in Germany, they had casted about 2,000 actors to be either Kai or Zev. And I had just switched agencies, and my other agency didn't like me anymore because I left them. So actually, the casting director called them and asked for me, and they said, no, she's not with us anymore. And they wouldn't give him any details, but he was clever enough to find out where I live. And basically he called me at home. Well, he called my parents and invited me to the audition, which was like just pure luck, because usually like it would have never happened. And when I went there, it was one of my first auditions actually. And there were like plenty of people around. And when I walked in there, the casting director, I think it was called Comfort or something, he saw me and he said to me, before I even said a word, he said, it's you. I said, what? You are Zev. I said, okay. And then I just did the audition, and he was even happier then. But I was so overwhelmed by just like you as an actress walking in where like all these really big names are competing sort of to get a part in a series. And I went home, and so when my mother opened the door, I was just crying. I was just like, and my mother said, oh, Eva, I'm so sorry. Well, next time you'll get another part. And I said, no, I don't know why. And so I was like, it was really I really still remember it quite lively. And just a month later, I was already coming over to Canada to Halifax, which is a lovely town. I really enjoyed that. And then the first thing the producer, Paul Donovan, said to me, well, we'll have to color your hair light blue, which wasn't so easy to do at the time, because they neither had blue nail polish, nor did they have blue hair color. Seriously. So we had to do it with all kind of like, we tried out things like to make them blue.
Sure.
And it worked, but like after a few days, it always got sort of like, well, a little bit more like greenish. So it looked like it only looked good on the same day. So I had to do it over and over again. but I just really enjoyed this. And I love this character because it basically, it was me. It was in a way also, I felt a little bit lost being like in such a big production. I was really like innocent and conservative from like a background, my father being a lawyer, my mother a housewife. I'd never been away from home so far and for so long. So in a way I was Zev and just like being like that, ooh, who am I? Where am I?
Where am I? That's amazing.
I really enjoyed this.
Yeah, really. I have to say, I can only imagine what that would be like. First off, I can't believe that your ex-agency tried to block you on that part because
why did they do that?
Shame on them.
Really, honestly, they're like ex-boyfriends. They erase you from every like website you're on connected to them within 2 hours after you sort of you quit them. They're just like
we don't need them anymore. Whatever, it doesn't matter. Really.
Just erase
here's a bunch of other people that we can recommend.
But agents are like that. Honestly,
that's totally understood. I will say that thankfully, for the tenacity of the people on the Lex production for finding you, because I will say that kind of one of the things that blew my mind as a kid is, you know, late teen. There were a bunch of sci-fi programs, so it's not that aspect of it was new, but kind of the feel of Lex, and I kind of still hold it true to this day, there's really never been another production like that. It was interesting and strange and some may say like sexually charged, and it was just a very very own thing. So one thing that I'm very curious about, and we've asked this on people before on Recast, is what was the atmosphere on set like? Like what was kind of the feeling during the taping?
Oh, generally it was like, it was a little bit like a Big Brother show because we are all like living almost under one roof because the whole production was set up in a warehouse at the harbor. And so there were all the carpenters, there was the wardrobe, there were the props masters. So we were all under one roof, and which was really interesting because we shot it in winter from January till March. So we got picked up in the morning at 5 o'clock and got there in the dark. And basically we left afterwards so we spent our whole day in Lex and never sort of really saw the sunshine, but maybe just like at lunchtime, just walked out once. Oh God, there's light. That's so bright. But we like spent the entire day there. And it was such a pioneer atmosphere because everybody, they all just loved what they were doing. And I really loved it too. And I really had fun. And I admit I had a huge crush on Kyle, seriously. And
understandable.
Yeah, but actually, believe it or not, I don't know, you remember the character Whist that's in the third episode?
Yes.
He started having an affair with her, and I hated them.
What?
So Seth was really heartbroken. Like, it's sort of partly the truth.
Sure. Now I have to ask, as somebody who is in such a kind of an iconic science fiction show, have you gotten the opportunity to go to conventions and have you run into anyone cosplaying as Zev?
Well, I haven't gone to my convention, I have to say. I don't really know why, but you see, I left Lex after the 4 movies, and a lot of people have asked me why. But the why is quite easily to explain, because when I got back to Germany, it took another 2 years till Lex sort of was continued because they weren't sure if they were going to sort of make a series of it or not. And as I was demanded back then I got I was totally booked up by the time they came up with a contract and sort of said, we would like to be on the series. Because I had already signed for some other stuff in Germany. So that was really just like bad luck in a way. But at the same time, it was like back then, I don't know if like I was really young and I really sort of also like when I was abroad, I missed my parents and I missed my friends. That sounds a little bit weird, but I was 19 and I just I enjoyed also being at home. But so I was leaving that series. But like nowadays, if you had asked me now, I would say, oh, of course I would have stayed. I don't really understand. But what I really like is like I see like especially in Russia, I see these cosplayers like these pretty girls with like blue hair, and they look fantastic. I really love it, and I'm really happy that there's still such a great fan base around for Let's.
Definitely. So now,
although what I really enjoy that I get to do, actually, you see, I just started producing my own movies 3 years ago. And yeah. I do just as much weird stuff, sort of like similar to Lex in a way. Like our first movie was Under Control, that has also come out in the USA, and Cyst and Sky Shark. So somehow this is something I'm attracted to because I love doing crazy things.
I was going to ask, what kind of drew you to that? Is that your personality? Are you a person that likes to watch these sort of films and movies? Or is that just where your creative brain goes? You're like, I really like interesting, strange kind of concepts.
I think I just like playing characters that are very much out of the box and that are totally different. And and also what I really like, I like just like in the movie Insist, I like shooting inside a studio because it creates a totally different atmosphere. It's like its own world, like on Lex. And I just like doing crazy stuff. I'm like a little kid myself. So I just like doing weird things and going over the top. And
I love that. What is the, so I would imagine as a producer, kind of what is the, do you have like a certain type of movie that you're like, okay, this is something that's on my list that I absolutely want to get the chance to do at some point. If you're not already working on it, is there something that you're like, I really want to do a zombie musical set at Christmas or whatever? Like, is there something like that?
Well, actually, you see, we also did a project. Our company was founded 3 years ago. It's me and my boyfriend's company, and called Phantom Film. And so far, we've done like three really trash horror movies. And we did one that was like a little bit more like, it's like really deep and serious. It's a psychological drama about depressions, which is also very edgy because it's something that people don't sort of like, people actually like to see it, but the networks in Germany are very afraid of doing that because it's a subject that's sort of like no, we don't want to talk about this. But I like doing things that are just sort of out of the box. So and there I gained 20 kilos. I look really horrible. So our distribution is selling it right now at Cannes. And at the moment I'm convinced it will be doing better abroad than in Germany, because in Germany it's very conservative what you see on TV. It's always It cannot be too edgy because they sort of don't want to confront the audience. And also like these trash comedies, they confront people. And I like just confronting people with something crazy, interesting, or just, I just want to make them feel something or just get new ideas. And that's sort of like a little bit difficult, I think, in Germany. That's what I think personally. And actually the next thing we are planning a series with three guys who are 17, 17, and 18. And sort of I came up with the whole story because it's about three guys that only want to have sex, they want to be famous, and they want to have money. Sort of like, what do you want to become? Like rich and famous. And so, but it's very, very funny because they're like these wannabe machos. And everything they do always sort of ends up in a fail. But together, they are really strong. I mean, they still live at home. They still go like, mama, yes, yes, yes. But like, they've got their secret identity where they're like superheroes. And they're like, oh. But I just, So, and there I'm going to play one of the mothers who's just sort of like that kind of mother that would arrange a party for her 17-year-old son and then come in, oh, Basti, if you need anything, I'm just next doors and enjoy. That's like the most embarrassing mother ever. So this is what it's going to be like. So basically, I don't have a certain character I want to play. I just really like stuff that's a little bit out of the box and that's just fun to play. Sort of like a little bit comedic in a way.
Sure. I did watch the trailer for the Control film that you were talking about.
Oh, Under Control. Yes.
Yes. And I will say that it was actually really, first off, the trailer was really funny. But I will say that it kind of was this great pastiche of like several kind of films and vibes, things that I was familiar with. And I think it looked great, but your character specifically in that film, you got to play essentially two characters.
Absolutely. Like, because I played a woman that was possessed by a troll.
Exactly.
This is actually my favorite part, where I'm possessed by something. That's really good because that's very much typecast. And there I got to play even more characters in there because actually, first of all, I played a woman who was a little bit crazy over the top. Well, sort of like a fun blonde girl who's got like a daughter, but she's very embarrassing. Like me, I'm very embarrassing, even for the woman, because she's just like the loudest girl like around. And then when she gets possessed by a troll, people even don't notice it because she's still weird, which is different weird, but it doesn't matter. And then again, later in the movie, I'm playing the troll trying to play a woman how he imagines a woman to be. So she's like the super sexual woman because he's just, that's what he imagines a woman to be like. So I get to play even like three different characters in a way.
Wow, and that sounds fun.
Yeah, it was fun. And I was like, in English, I was like, whenever I was talking in the troll voice, I was dubbed by Jason Douglas, who's also in Cyst. And who's one of the dubbing voices in Dragon Balls. So
yes, very familiar.
The troll has got a Dragon Ball voice.
I love it.
This is how we met first. And yeah, but it's all thanks to George Hardy who made it happen. Because I mean, have you talked to George Hardy yet?
I have not.
Oh, you have to. He is amazing.
And on the list.
It happen.
Yes. I mean, because listen, he was in Troll 2. He was the main character. In this
absolutely.
Movie. And so when we did Under Control, we shot it in Germany and we just wanted to have him in our movie because there he was the main guy and we wanted to have him a cameo in our movie being the same character, but this time warning people about trolls, that trolls still exist. And so in order to find him, we basically just called his dental practice in Alabama, and he would come to the phone and we convinced him to come over and be this character again.
Oh, and that's awesome.
So this is how you basically get to people if you just call them. And he had so much fun. Then afterwards, he always said to me, Eva, we have to work together again. So actually says, in a way, it was created by him because the director of Cyst, he had done a movie was called Texas Cotton. So there was George Hardy sitting there in Alabama going like, I want to shoot with Tyler Russell again and with Eva. So he just sort of introduced us to Khan. And then he also thought, I want to shoot with Darren Ewing, who also was in Troll 2. So this is how Cyst was actually made, because there was George Hardy figuring out how to work with the people he really likes.
Sure.
And he just sort of convinced us, and he's very convincing.
That's where the best kind of projects come from, right? It's just like people wanting to have fun and work together and make something fun and cool. I think the best films kind of come from that sort of thing. I do have to ask. Speaking of filming in Germany, do you prefer, if making a film, do you first try to shoot in Germany or is it kind of wherever it fits?
No, you see, like if I produce a movie and so if I'm just as an actress, I like to shoot anywhere and I've been shooting a lot of countries all over the world, but like As for producing a movie, it's much easier in Germany because I've got better connections. And also, like in Germany, actually, they do have like state support for movies, but not for genre movies. Basically, they just do like these really intellectual things. And it's very hard because basically they just said we don't support genre movies, which is like totally insane. But when we were shooting CIST, we were shooting it in Baltimore. And of course, like if you shoot in America, you need like a service company that does it for you because you just need to need the connections. So for me, it's way easier. And also like as I've done most movies in Germany, and I really know most of the actors there. So I can just call them and ask them, do you want to be in my movie? It's very easy. Whereas when I'm shooting abroad, I need other people to organize that. Because especially for low budget movies, you need connections. Because you cannot offer much money. You can just offer a script and a good time and just say it's going to be great fun. Because this is what low budget movies are like. It's more like for the passion of filmmaking than anything else.
I totally agree. And I will just say, I will volunteer both Gallo and myself. We will happily be American connections for you if you want two people, one named Gallo and one named Q for any projects in the future. You just let us know for sure. Now, the series that you're developing that you're talking about the three young men, is that taking place in Germany? Is that kind of the concept?
It is taken. So the guy that's writing it is from Toronto. So, and he's 25 because I wanted somebody who's really young and who can sort of just put my ideas into a script. And so he's writing it and then we're going to translate it into German and shoot it in Germany because right now it's just so much easier if you just like, I don't know how it's going to turn out. Maybe it's going to be international as well, but I always like to start out where I am, where sort of like where I know what I'm doing because I'm not, you see, I've just been a producer for 3 years and in three years we've made three movies. So I'm not that experienced. And here in Germany, I just know so many people. It's like easier for me to organize stuff. So and also in Germany, they are less afraid of sort of showing, well, not really showing sexual content, but obviously a series about three guys want to sort of like get famous, money and girls is also big parts about sex, like not showing it, but still. And they're in Germany, it's more, I think they are more tolerant than in the US.
Yeah, I would agree with that. We have all sorts of problems with censors here. Like it seems most European series as a whole tend to be a little more lax, especially on at least on that side of things, on the like sexualized side of film and television.
Not depression though.
No.
We can't have depression. No. Sex, okay.
Now I do want to ask as somebody who has obviously been well-rooted in acting and then now for the past 3 years kind of taken this leap into producing, is that where the buck stops for you? Or are you like, I want to direct maybe, I want to write some things, I want to...
Well, actually, like where... for this movie about depressions, I wrote the script with the director and it's called The Ugly Truth. And sort of there are a lot of poems in it. It's very beautiful. So I wrote that, but it's really like a drama in a way.
Sure.
And for girls, I'm also going to direct it because I just love the idea sort of like, because you see, I'm a woman. I've just seen it from outside. Like I have experienced how men behave. And I just sort of like, in a way, I'm just sort of like, I like the characters are really lovable, but also I want to show them in a way like how I perceived guys when I was younger.
Yeah.
Like sort of just like they're lovable, sort of these guys are lovable idiots, but they're young. They don't know what they're doing. And still, but it will be very interesting. And I also want to sort of sell it then internationally. But to start over first, we'll shoot it in Germany. Because I actually asked the guy from Canada, he's called Nate Wilson. And I said, well, we could also shoot it in Canada. And he said, no, there, we cannot shoot it like that. No, it's not possible. I said, it's good, let's go for it. But yeah, I'm having fun with this kind of stuff. So there I'm going to direct for the first time.
I love it. Is that something that, are you nervous about getting behind the camera on that sense? Or are you like, let's do it, you seem like a let's do it, I'm all in kind of person. So you're like, let's just go for it and what happens, happens.
You know what? The thing is with me, I've just seen it like from the other side my whole life. And so actually also when I became a producer, I wanted to do things differently. Like I want to change things, whatever I didn't like, what was happening. I want, for instance, the most important thing on set is the catering. Like even if you do low budget production, the food has to be good. And there are certain things you have to take care of. And that's important. Yeah. And it's just a small thing. And a producer just should walk around and ask everybody, are you okay? Is there something you can take care of? You're more or less like the babysitter of the whole crew. Sure, and you're like also like, well, they have to tell you because you have to sort things out and sort of balance stuff out. Because it's very hard. Also, like it's very interesting, like what movie shoots are like, and also like basically like behind the scenes, what's going on. Because for instance, when we were shooting Under Control, this troll movie, I had the feeling basically that we're not shooting a movie, but that somebody is shooting, like filming us, like the crew, because they all did it with so much fun, but they had no clue what they were doing. And it was really, and we also edited a making of for 30 minutes. And you can see all the disaster happening there, but it was all done with a lot of passion. So,
Well, that's where the magic happens. The magic happens in those.
Absolutely. Yes.
Now, I have to say, since you mentioned food, do you have in all of your travels, what has been your favorite like spot for food? Like, what have you been like? I dream of this when I go to sleep at night. This is the food that I love. We're big foodies at Project Nerds, so.
You know, when I was in Cape Town, they had filet steak with chocolate sauce. That was very interesting. I really liked that. But I really like Mediterranean food.
Sure.
But okay. So it's very hard to say because it just depends on the mood I'm in. And I've had so much different food. I also like cooking myself. So especially during the corona times when everything was like during the lockdown, I was basically cooking every day. And also in my company, I cook every day for my employees so they can either stay or not stay. Because I think it's very important, like after the day, just to get together and eat something. I just like, I sort of also like organizing parties. So I just like everybody being together.
I love that. I think that sounds like one of the best work environments ever. I think more places should do that. That sounds wonderful.
Yeah.
It's like breaking bread with friends. You feel more comfortable. And
the food is like, because food is for me very, I get very, very horrible if I don't get enough to eat. Then I get very grumpy. So this is very important for me. Good food and sort of just like the right vibration to be creative. Sure.
Correct. Yeah.
Because under pressure, you have to be like, I'm really well organized. So I'm really well planned. Like also when I'm shooting, because not being organized means a lot of fuzz and that just means losing time and people getting annoyed. So I'm really a fan of organizing stuff really well and then having the freedom and being able to relax and have fun and just really focus on what you're doing.
Sure. Can I ask, since you mentioned it, what was the lockdown like for you? Was that we've talked to different people and some people got creative. Some people kind of took a break from creativeness. What was your experience?
Well, so Actually, the lockdown happened right after the shoot of the movie, The Ugly Truth. So I was doing the editing with the editor via TeamViewer, which was quite useful because then I didn't have to drive anywhere in the morning. I was just sitting there in my pajama. He was sitting there in his pajamas. And we were just editing the movie, and I could write see in front of my face what we were doing. So all this could be well done in home office. And also, I really liked it in a way because, you see, you don't feel like you're missing out on anything. You don't have to go to the parties because there are none. You don't have any social obligations because you can just be at home and say, oh, sorry, I can't move, because it's really good because, like, my world is very much involved with traveling and with being all over the place. And you always have the feeling, I have to be there. Basically, it's also okay to be nowhere, just to be where you are yourself. And it's really important to learn that, because you always get the feeling you're missing out on something. Like, if I have, like, I've got, like, invitations for parties or for events, like, every week. But it's not the most important thing in your life. It's nice and it's good, but it's also nice to be just at home. So my home looks much better now. I cleaned it up and I threw a lot of stuff away, and the garden looks better, and and the office looks really nice.
Do you think any of those kind of work practices that you kind of had to do in COVID times, do you think any of that has kind of informed how you want to do productions in the future? Like, you know, here stateside, I think I read an article a week ago that said 60% of people who worked in an office after working at home now don't want to return to an office. And so a lot, which makes tons of sense, right? And like, I myself, my day job transitioned. So now I'm a full-time work from home employee, where prior to COVID, I wasn't. That was not even something that was like an option. So do you think that you'll take any of kind of those practices, like you said, editing via TeamViewer, and put that into your productions in the future?
Well, actually, also during the COVID times, I decided to rent an office, which is just in the same block of houses. So I have to go 100 meters together, because before we did everything at home, which is bad because then you just end up working all the time, because you have no, it's like working and living in the same room, basically. So there, so now, so even if we're in quarantine, I can still just go over to the office. It's just 100 meters away. So. So it's like home office at the same time as being our official office. But but I think it's really cool also to work online. It's like just working. I mean, of course, I want to like be there, discuss with people, but also like with our writer, like Nate Wilson from Canada, I just discuss everything via Skype. It's very, very much doable. Of course, it's not the only way, but for working, it's quite good for concentrating on being focused, because there's nothing to distract you, because you kind of like walk around and leave the frame and come back in 5 minutes later. So you have to concentrate on what you're doing. But of course, you need also the personal contact. So this is all just for pre-production or for post-production and everything else. And also like for social, and also like you want to go and hug people, and just, this is what you cannot do when you're in lockdown.
But have you had any sort of like restrictions in Germany regarding filming after COVID? Like, has like policies or anything changed, I would imagine?
Oh yes, I tell you something. It was especially independent filmmakers have it very hard these days, because you have like a hygienic concept and you have to have like a corona advisor on set. It's very expensive. So series, like for instance, a friend of mine, he's shooting like an evening series for a big network, and somebody like that and the concept for Corona cost €200,000. And I mean, that's the budget we have for a movie, basically. Wow. So it's very hard on independent filmmakers. And so at the moment, I appreciate it that people are getting vaccinated, and so it's getting more open and easier. Sure. But don't know what's yet to come, but It was very hard because only sort of the bigger companies could produce movies in that time.
Sure.
Because yeah, I mean, it was very like, it would have been, it's sort of like you can still shoot, but then it's more of like in secret, because like officially you cannot shoot as an independent filmmaker.
Sure. I've kind of heard that. It's been kind of a unanimous thing across the board. We've talked to, on Project Nerd, we end up talking to a bunch of independent filmmakers. That's kind of, you know, we love that kind of segment of the film and TV industry. And it has seemed like, you know, coronavirus unfortunately has really taken its toll, especially on those independent productions, because
absolutely,
exactly like you said, the cost associated and just the extra labor and time that goes in to make sure these things are adhered to. So I will say, for the sake of, I personally, my favorite productions are independent productions. I think that's where you get
mine too,
unique, original.
Agreed.
And so I hope, if for nothing else, that as those restrictions relax, that we are able to see more of those kind of coming back again.
Absolutely. I hope so too, because it's very, very complicated. Because like, if you have a shoot and then somebody is like, even if he doesn't have COVID, but he might have COVID, then the shoot is stopping for 5 days. That's a disaster for independent. I mean, it's a total disaster. And I'm so happy that we actually shot Cyst and The Ugly Truth, both movies. We shot them both just before the lockdown. We shot them both in 2019, almost like sort of right after each other. And so we had all the time afterwards, we had post-production.
Sure.
So this was just a matter of good luck, because if we had planned it in 2020, it wouldn't have been able to happen.
So sure. Eva, Q and I were talking before you got on, and we were both kind of really like curious and excited at the same time. And so can you tell us about your movie Cyst?
What do you want to know? Ask me.
We want to know, without spoiling it, how does that work?
Oh, Cyst. Well, basically, it's all like what I said earlier, like George Hardy sort of came up with this idea because he wanted to shoot with his favorite director and his favorite actress, which happens to be me. And so they actually called me in February 2019 and said to me, we want to do a movie about a cyst. It's going to be like Dr. Pimple Poppers and stuff. And I said, that's horrible. And so I told him, I said, no, just leave me alone with this. But then I came over in I think it was like in beginning of July. I was there on the 4th of July, and he had also like, I was visiting George because he's also a friend of mine, and he also like, also he made Tyler come over with a final script, and he said, okay, just look at this. And then we made a reading, and it was so much fun because the story is just so absurd and it plays in the 60s, which makes it more special. And it's just a very different movie because it's like one of those old monster movies.
Sure.
And it was a really quick decision. We just said, okay, let's do it at the end of the year. You organize it. We sort of also invest money, and then we decide on the actors together. And Tyler knows a lot of people, like actors, because it's interesting. To Germans, we always think that in Hollywood and America, there are all these actors that just work for billions of dollars. And but they are just the same. Like also, like if they have time and if they're interested in a project, they will do it. And so they'll have fun to do it. So they basically organized it all. And this is how it happened. And then also like George and I, we went through the story and we basically rewrote a little bit of stuff, because to me, there wasn't like enough emotional impact in it. So, and that's how it sort of got to be then a movie about a guy called Dr. Guy, who's like this genius who wants to develop a machine to remove cysts to impress his assistant because he really loves her. And
of course,
she,
as you would.
Yeah, and she's just totally against it. She says this machine is dangerous because he had tried it before on her and he really harmed her with that. So she says, if you ever show that machine again, I will quit. So this is basically sort of like this sort of sets sort of like the start that I say, I'm going to quit now because this is over. And he's very upset because he's also like hurt in his narcissistic self that how can you leave now that I am presenting the sort of like the best invention of all times. And this sort of just when it gets all out of order, when he tries to sort of perform well in front of the people from the patent office. Sure. And that's very lovable because his sort of his thrive or why he does it is to impress this woman who is less than impressed by it. So it's got some kind of an emotional impact, which is special. You see during that, well, I'm not spoiling anything with it, but there's one like a fighting scene where we really start physically attacking each other. And there basically you start to realize that this guy really is in love with this girl. And he's really just obsessing about this machine to impress her.
So it's a love story.
It is a love story, actually. Yes.
I love it. It kind of sounds like it has some touches of like a Little Shop of Horrors almost. Like yes. You've got this guy who's willing to do these like monstrous things. And ultimately, it's all just in hopes to impress a woman that he loves.
Yeah. But it all fails. Miserably.
That makes the best kind of movie. If it all went right, it would just be the opening. He shows her the invention. She says, okay, roll credits. So I love that. Can I ask, so what is, and obviously, you know, you're promoting Cyst right now, and then you have what sounds like a wonderful movie about depression. I'm actually very interested because I think the world right now is very interested in that. And I think we found that out definitively. Are you a comedy fan at all?
Yes,
you watch stand-up comedy. Have you seen the Bo Burnham Inside special on Netflix yet?
It's kind of taking, I haven't.
Okay. If you want to see something very interesting about depression, but also that he's a comedian. So it's supposed to be jokey. I don't know if it really comes off as jokey, more so just like a really good look, but he essentially filmed a special during COVID alone in his room and tried to be humorous about being by himself and going through depression. And I think after watching that, it really kind of resonated with me that, you know, depression is a much bigger conversation right now, especially post COVID. A lot of people weren't, you know, depression has kind of always been one of those like sidelined, like, oh, like they're depressed. We don't really talk about that. Or it's been treated as like, oh, they're depressed. Oh, they're just dramatic or whatever. And I think that COVID kind of, you know, a lot of people who maybe hadn't experienced depression before ended up experiencing it. And so I think that there's a big conversation to be had. And I think people are kind of welcoming that. So I have a feeling that a movie like what you're describing is kind of something people need right now. Like it continues that dialogue and conversation.
Well, I certainly hope so, because it is in Germany, it's still very different because depressions are very stigmatized. So sort of like you're being considered like a loser, too weak, not able to work, too dramatic and all that. So because like people mostly want to be like perfect, also being like hardworking and not failing and the movie, The Ugly Truth, is about this actually quite normal family. And it just sort of slowly develops. And because nobody sort of takes care and everybody says, oh, it's going to be okay. That's why it just goes down and down very slowly. So also like the audience realizes too late, actually, where the point of no return is happening, where there's like, because like nobody knows how to deal with it. But interestingly enough, I've offered it already to a few public networks in Germany, and they said that the subject of depression is not relevant to their audience, which I found quite interesting. But hurts. Well, it's good.
So according to them, depression is non-existent in Germany.
It's not relevant to their audience. Whatever. Wow. But I'm still convinced it will work out because, like, so far, like, we've sold each of our movies so far. So, like, Under Control has come out in the US and in Canada and in different countries. And also Cyst is going to be sold all over the world. So I'm also convinced that this will really work out. Because, like, sure, whatever, sure, you put a lot of love and energy in, there will something come back. Like, and so I'm not too worried about that. We're just sending it to festivals right now. I'm happy to inform you when a festival is close
yes.
by.
Yes, watch. we would love that. I personally would love to see it for sure.
See
if I can. Oh, go ahead.
So we actually have a big presence at the Tallgrass Film Festival here in the U.S. So okay. if that comes down your list, you might want to do a little submission that way and let us know, and we'll cover it.
Okay. Cool. Yes.
Absolutely.
Now I do want to ask, what's next? What's next for you a producer, actress extraordinaire?
Well, so we are going to dub Cyst in German. So I was just calling all the voice actors and sort of like, and we got the same voice for George Hardy, the same voice artist who spoke him in Troll 2. So it is like, it's the same voice actor. So we wrote the dubbing script and sort of also translated the jokes into German and made it lip sync. So this is our next thing, and editing a few of the behind the scenes stuff for sort of like advertising, also like the interviews with Greg Sestero and with George Hardy. And afterwards, I received the first draft or the second draft of Girls today, of the series, of the pilot movie. And me and a friend, I'm going to translate it and create the lookbook. So this is what we're going to do right now, like next.
Fantastic.
I really don't know yet, because I was supposed to play theater, and the theater was canceled again because of the COVID numbers.
Sure.
But it's okay. I'm doing so much stuff, really.
It doesn't sound like you're in short supply or short. It sounds like you have plenty going on. That sounds wonderful. I'm excited for all of these projects. Cyst, I'm excited for people to see this film. It is wild. I that's the best way I can describe it. It is a wild film. It's a lot of fun. And yeah, we're so appreciative for you coming on and sitting down and chatting with us. Especially, I know you said you're on holiday right now, and it sounds you got your script turned out, I mean, it sounds like holiday also may include some work as well.
No, actually, I'm working here every day for about 3 hours. So it's like perfect work, holiday
balance.
Because I've been organizing the whole all of the voice actors. One of the voice actors, actually the voice actor that's doing Preston, that's the assistant of Dr. Guy, is voicing Bugs Bunny in Germany. So it's like they're really, really, really good voice artists. Yeah, and that's going to be a lot of fun.
I love it. Voice actors are a fun people. I have gotten to know quite a few over.
Have you ever interviewed Christopher Sabat? You know Christopher Sabat? He's one of the most well-known.
I haven't interviewed him, but yes, I'm very aware of him.
Yeah. He also spoke one of the characters from Under Control. He's really good.
Well, any of these people that you want to throw our way, we'll be happy to reach out to them as well.
Absolutely. Well, I can throw all of them. I can organize you 10 people if you want.
Let's do it. Of course we would love to. We would like to consider every time that we have someone new guest on one of our shows, you are now officially part of the Project Nerd family.
Yes, you are.
anything we can do to support and promote you, we're happy to do. And anyone that you want to send our direction that you would also like that for, we are happy to have them as well. That's, as Gallo had explained, that's kind of the project in Project Nerd. It's like bringing all of these fans and communities together. Because the truth is, you can nerd out about anything, right? Like,
yes, yeah. But that sounds really cool. I just have to say one last thing, because there's also a movie just coming out now in the US called Sky Sharks. Have you heard about that one?
Sky Sharks. Is there a trailer floating around for it? Because I think I watched one.
Well, it has been floating around for the last 6 years because it took so long to finish the movie. It was very complicated.
I did watch the trailer about 2 days ago. So yes, I have heard of it, and I'm aware. Yes,
I'm also like, I'm the female hero together with Barbara Nedelkova from Hostel.
Oh, so,
we are nice. Sort of like, and there are a lot of, well, and the crazy thing about this is, well, it will come out in Germany now. It's the only country where it will come out in movie theaters because it's distributed by Sony. And they said we sort of like are in if it comes out in movie theaters. So they had to postpone it already 3 times, like because of COVID. But now it will be coming out in August. And this is like, special effects wise, it's really amazing. And it's really such a weird story they came up with. And also, like, I interviewed them, how did you come up with the stories? And basically, they just had this idea of, hey, let's make a movie about sharks. They fly. They are invented by Nazis. And let's put a lot of women in it.
Yes.
Preferably porn stars. So in this movie, there are a lot of porn stars because they felt like that's really better to have, because a lot of, like, of course, then... Of course, while they're having sex somewhere, a shark is coming by, biting the guy's head off.
Of course,
But it was all like, sort of like invented in a night after, I think, after the Seventh Caipirinha or something. And that's also how they tell their story. They're also very funny, these guys. Yeah.
That's hilarious. So Sky Sharks, that's something also all the listeners right now should keep an eye out for. That sounds like a ton of fun.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much for sitting down with us. I sincerely appreciate it. It's been an absolute pleasure. I would like to invite you back. We have a plethora of shows. We would love you. Feel free to check out the network. You're welcome on any one of them anytime you want.
Oh, cool. The test of...
You have officially been approved. You have the seal of approval for Project Nerd.
Yes, yeah, that's so nice. Wonderful.
Thank you so much. Again, everyone check out, and I'm going to let you say your name again because it sounds so great. Please.
Okay. I can say it in English. It's Eva Habermann. In German, it would be Eva Habermann.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Please.
Habermann.
Please check her out. Check out all these wonderful films.
Am besten jetzt nur noch Deutsch, weil das sehr gut klingt.
What was that? Yes. But thank you so much again. I've been Q.
This is Gallo.
And make sure you check out all the shows across the Project Nerd Podcast Network. Visit www.project-nerd.com for your amazing doses of nerd goodness. And until next time, we'll see you later.
Bye.
Bye.